You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
2019 statistics show that one in five children here are living in poverty, and this has only worsened with the COVID-19 pandemic. Kids Can is an organisation which strives to break the cycle of hardship, believing that education is the key to success, and donates food, clothes and other resources to over 40,000 children a year. So I speak to the CEO and founder of Kids Can, Julie Chapman, about this issue, and begin by asking her to describe what child poverty looks like in Aotearoa beyond the statistics.
We obviously have all these statistics, and it's hard to kind of imagine, what life is like in reality. We have literally recently had some research done that has revealed sort of a day in the life of a child. So if you start from the morning, often our children will be getting up with no one there to actually get them up. So families are out working very early in the morning, so there's no one to get them up. There might be no breakfast, there might be no hygiene products, no soap, no shampoo, often no power, no one to get them off to school, no one to help them pack a lunch. And then when they get to school, they often arrive late, so they miss out on the breakfast club. Then they might also have no food, no books, the right clothing, no shoes, all of those things. And then again, towards the end of the day when they go home, they could be going home to no food in the house. Again, parents who aren't there because they're working really long hours. And that just really creates a sense of loneliness for kids and, makes them feel like they are kind of less than in terms of other kids that have all the bits and pieces and shoes and things that they need to get through the day and just be a normal kid at school.
And obviously COVID-19 has played a big part in this, but even before that, school nurses were reporting on children suffering from stomach cramps and fatigue from hunger. Can you speak to how this affects education and the classroom environment as a whole for children?
We knew that things were getting worse even before COVID hit. We were reporting 30,000 children a day in term one with food items. Now we're supporting an additional 10,000 kids a day post-COVID. Teachers are dipping into their own pockets. Kids are suffering from stomach cramps. And the impact on their learning is significant. Basically, the brain doesn't switch on. Learning is kind of an optional extra once all of your sort of physical and material needs are actually met. So for those kids who are cold, wet and hungry, it really does impact on their learning. And of course, you also have kids who are kept home when there's no food at home or the right shoes because there's that sense of embarrassment too. So it's even more impacted.
Nurses have also reported on the trauma response that children are having to these conditions. Can you tell me about the trajectory for children who grow up in poverty, have these effects in their education and beyond, and how this influences their life after school?
They're starting behind the eight ball, right from the start. The stress of living in poverty is significant in families, and obviously children feel that. They understand it. I guess the long-term implications of not getting a good education mean it's kind of more likely that they could go on to repeat the cycle of poverty. And so for us as an organisation, our whole focus has always been that we believe education does equal opportunity and that we want as many children as possible in New Zealand to have an equal opportunity regardless of which family they're born into. It is kind of like a lottery. You don't get to choose which family you're born into, and children who don't have those basics really do suffer, and the impact can be long-term in terms of repeating that cycle of poverty.
You've mentioned the speed at which other changes have been implemented this year with the COVID-19 pandemic. Poverty in New Zealand has been around for a long time. It's not a new issue. Why do you think change regarding this is taking a long time to address?
I think we've been able to change things quite quickly at a government level this year, and even certainly, with gun reform and all of those things. I don't really understand, perhaps naively, why we can't actually look at income levels and increasing benefits right now to give some alleviate some of the pressure going into Christmas. I think if there is a willingness to do that, then politicians could make it happen. I am an advocate for making sure that people have enough to live on whilst wrapping services around them that give them the encouragement and the tools they need to get off reliance on the state and actually get into meaningful work, which has all sorts of benefits for them in terms of self-esteem, and their children see that. And but while you're being kept down on the lowest possible income, you don't have any time to think about what you might want to do in the future. Your whole existence is spent trying to work out how you're going to put food on the table or cover your rent, and that's just a horrible way for people to have to live.
Let's talk about benefits, because there have been a number of charities who have called on this government to increase them. I want to talk a bit about Jacinda Ardern's response to charities. She rejected the idea of raising benefits at present and has defended the government's record on what they're doing to reduce poverty in Aotearoa. This response did result in some calling her disconnected. What are your thoughts on this?
Look, I think the government and the Prime Minister definitely have a willingness to address child poverty in New Zealand and ergo, you know, poverty in general. But it's going to take a long time. It isn't a quick fix. But I guess where I come from is I think one of the things that can be done reasonably quickly is to increase benefit levels so that people can live with more dignity. We know that families are often paying 50 to 60% of their income in rent, and when you add up all the bills, there simply isn't enough money to go around. And, you know, I hear people say, oh, they should grow a garden, or they should budget, or they must be doing the wrong thing with their money. Look, the fact of the matter is that there isn't enough money to start with, and you're in deficit every week, and you cannot budget for everything that you need, those basics, when you have a deficit every week.
Māori and Pacifica communities are suffering more than others regarding poverty. Do you think that to address the effects of colonisation that we're continuing to see today, there should be a unique approach to combating child poverty in these communities?
I think that Māori and Pacifica can and should have the mandate to come up with solutions themselves for their own culture and communities. But I think that when you look at the wider aspects of why people are in poverty and why they're spending 60 to 70% of their income on rent, it comes back to things like housing and what's our plan for actually building more houses so that everyone has a warm, safe and dry place that doesn't cost them three quarters or 60 to 70% of their income each week.
You mentioned before how many people, when we discuss poverty, say, oh, well, they should, for example, grow a garden and other solutions like this. Do you think, though, that public opinion on poverty is changing in Aotearoa?
I think certainly since I started KidsCan 15 years ago, there's definitely been a change. I mean, people just didn't even really believe that it existed. So I think the conversation has changed, but there are still a group of people who blame people in hardship for their own, you know, being there because of their own making. And I guess my message to people is to not make sweeping judgments about a significantly large group of families and children. Everybody has their own story. You know, it can be relationship breakups, loss of job, illness, like there's many, many things that can tip a family into poverty. And I can tell you that the majority of parents in the schools that we support across New Zealand actually do the right thing with their money. They do want the best for their children. They simply just don't actually have enough to cover the basics every week. Our cost of living and cost of housing is too high in terms of the incomes that people have.
The Labor government has reported that 7 out of their 9 poverty indicators have decreased over the past term. When you hear about statistics like this, what do they mean to you?
Well, they're certainly not reflected in what we see. We know that material hardship is growing. It is still significant. And, you know, the real test for me is when I hear from our schools that the majority of their families are able to put 3 meals on the table, pay their rent, buy those basics, then I'll know that there's actually a change.
So when schools go back, KidsCan will be feeding approximately 44,000 children per day, and there are 10,000 more children on the waiting list, I believe. How will KidsCan keep up with this increased demand?
So it will be around 44 to 45,000 children a day that we'll be providing food support to. I guess, you know, the key for us is we've also got 130 early childhood centres in high deprivation areas that are waiting for support. We will be able to take 50 of those centres into our program in the new year. But, you know, really for us, we want people to, you know, Care and Kiwis to get online, go to our website and sponsor children, which you can do for $30 a month to support a child. And that will enable us to hopefully make a dent in the rest of the waiting list. And we also want to make sure that we're never in a position where we, you know, start supporting a school and then have to take that support out because there isn't the funding there. So we're very careful to make sure that what we do is sustainable.
Besides donating, are there any other ways that people can help out KidsCan? I'm just aware that a lot of our listeners are students who often don't have $30 a month to spare.
Yeah, I mean, look, they can make one-off donations to us as well. They could watch out for our back-to-school campaign, which will launch sort of mid to late January, and they'll be able to actually, you know, buy a pair of shoes online for a child that needs it. They can also look at our website for our full list of schools, and if there's a school in the area that they might want to reach out to see what they can do directly, that's also helpful as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.